Welcome back to New Rock Stars. The multiverse has blown wide open in the MCU, making it a Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, I'm going to start calling it, thanks to the Loki finale. But if you look closely, as we have, at all those little branch timelines that are splitting off from each other, are we seeing into the future of Spider-Man No Way Home, Multiverse of Madness, even Thor Love and Thunder, Quantumania, Avengers 5? Have they just given us a full roadmap of how this impacted everything we know and love from the future of Marvel? Let's talk about it, even if it's a bit premature. I don't care, because this is Rogue Theory. I'm back, motherfucker. Hey. This is a show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. I'm Eric Voss. Going rogue with me today, we have writer, comedian, and fantastic friend of the show, Jessica Clemens.
Hi, back by popular demand.
Yes. And back by popular supply, America's favorite uncle, timeline brancher, Tommy Bechtold.
Yes, I'm old. I'm older than I look, and I'm tired. Backed by legal obligation, and thank you guys for keeping me out of prison.
Just make sure we remember to sign your paperwork after we're done taping, because otherwise it won't count.
I appreciate that.
We also got with us, of course, fellow New Rock Stars host, MT.
Hey, Kang Gang, what's going on, everybody?
Kang Gang. We just got to shout that at the top of every video, because how often are we going to be right on this, you know?
Right.
We got the Kang Gang, we got the Big Head Gang, everybody's out and about today.
Right? The Kang Hang Big Head Gang Alliance.
That's happening. I'm not in a gang. Okay. I'm wearing a jean jacket and I'm not in a gang yet.
How dare you, Jess?
You can get be on it.
How dare I?
Be in the Denim Divas?
Ooh, start Jess.
The
Denim
Divas. Big Face team. Whoever has a big face can also join.
Jess, hey, Jessica, you can be in my gang. It's called the Boothang Gang. And that's just me and you.
Aww. That's pretty good. See?
I'm going to do that.
Fan gang.
None of you guys are dating Tommy.
Well, let's dive into this. The sacred timeline's eruption into a multiverse in the Loki finale seems to have direct implications on titles like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. But what about all the other titles we know about coming down the MCU pipeline? We're going to go through them all, one by one. Like, could Thor Love and Thunder be set in a timeline that we're in or in an alternate timeline? Could She-Hulk be in a live-action What If? Is Avengers 5 guaranteed to be a multiverse collision event like Secret Wars? How are the Fantastic Four going to fit in all this? So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to mention a title, streaming series, movies, whatever these things could be in a couple years. And I want us to sort them into one of three categories. One, is it going to be in the main MCU timeline where, like, the Infinity Saga has taken place? B, are we going to see it taking place in an alternate timeline that has something parallel but just off about it? One of those other branches. Or C, is it going to be an interdimensional story that's set across multiple timelines the way Loki has? Okay. You guys down for this?
Oh, yeah.
I'm down for it. This is interesting. Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay. We'll start with what if. What if seems to be the third category, right? Interdimensional. But do we think any of these stories could be set in our prime MCU timeline?
I don't know if any of the main stories will be set in our main timeline, but like we do get a shot in the What If trailer of a Scarlet Witch, which makes me think, I'm like, is that our Scarlet Witch? Like the same Scarlet Witch from the Sacred Timeline? So like I'm wondering if there are characters that will be introduced into that third category, interdimensional story, but I don't think that there's going to be any core story in What If or any like episode of What If that will take place in our timeline primarily. I think it's all just going to be, and it's going to be mainly, the whole season's going to be an interdimensional story set across multiple timelines, because we do see those multiversal Avengers.
Well, and that's the fun of the comic What Ifs, are that they're hypotheticals that don't ruin your main narrative timeline. They're like, exactly. You know, I remember reading like, what if Uncle Ben had lived as a kid? Or what if, I forget there was one, it was like, what if Wolverine was in the Fantastic Four? And they're just kind of like a creative muscle flexes, I think, for the writers. So I have a feeling that that series is going to be more of a fun hypothetical than an actual lean in and get more main MCU timeline information. I don't know, though. I mean, I've been wrong once or twice on this show, so you can't always trust what I'm saying.
Well, we try to. I mean, Jess, do you think that Uatu the Watcher could have been a primary MCU? Because they animated him in a way, but like because he's such a weird form, Jesus, like, could that have been implied to have been in the same world as the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, or Thor?
That'd be sick as hell. I mean, I hope so. How much do you think is going to be canon because of the What If series? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's just for fun. Is that just me? Is that wrong?
No, that's what I think.
No, too. It's not wrong.
Oh, okay. I was like, am I wrong for thinking that?
Assumption. Yeah. I just think the rules of it are going to be canon.
Yeah.
You know? You think?
Like the idea of, I don't think the exact scenarios will all be canon, but I think this idea of alternate realities will be canon.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. I am of a differing opinion here because I think that this is going to hardcore tie into the more multiversal elements that are coming up into the MCU. I never really considered that, but yeah, Jeffrey Wright's Watcher could actually be the Watcher that we see in the MCU going forward, because in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, the Watchers were highly, you know, CGI characters. Like, you're not going to get, like, a real man to be a Watcher. Right. So you can easily have Jeffrey Wright be any looking Watcher that he needs to be in the MCU.
Right, right. And we'll move through these a bit quicker, because we got a lot of titles we want to get through. But let's talk Eternals quickly, you know. So Eternals, still a big question mark for me. What do you guys think? How do you think Eternals could tie in with what happened in Loki, or will it?
I mean, like, there are definitely some elements in Loki that Eternals could tie into. Definitely the whole Kang aspect of everything, the Ramatut specifically, the Ramatut incarnation of Kang. We do see that Sphinx in the Void in episode 5 of Loki. And in the comics, a Sphinx is a time machine that Kang uses, and that I brought this up in Inside Marvel before. But yeah, so I feel like, you know, there could be a connection there with the Eternals, because they are this long-lived people, and the story is going to be taking place over thousands of years, as Marvel Studios has revealed.
I think Eternals will be a main MCU timeline, but I which we talked about in Big Question. I'm more confused and just trying to figure out, because the Eternals are the Eternals, but we're also talking about the Celestials coming to Earth. So what are the Celestials going to be doing with Kang, and how did Kang interrupt the Celestials? And so that's where I think it could cross into a different timeline, because who's bigger than God? The Celestials are like, not
the
to be like,
man. No, just kidding.
Okay, so you're
LeBron?
Right. The thing, LeBron James. Yeah, I think that it's going to be in the main timeline. I don't think they're going to really address the whole Kang situation or Loki situation. I also want to know, maybe like Loki is happening way after the Eternals movie, but it could talk about it, just because we're trying to figure out who's stronger, Kang or the Eternals or the Celestials.
My answer is not as fun, I think, but I think Eternals is going to kind of suffer from the same. I mean, I liked Black Widow, but I think it's going to have the same thing where a lot of, I think, what is happening in Loki. Obviously, I think Marvel has their plans that are years and years, ahead of time. But I have a feeling Eternals is going to be kind of feel like, oh, this movie was supposed to come out a year ago, and it's going to be good. It'll be very entertaining, but I don't think it's going to, I think anything to tie into what happened in Loki is going to be, is being done now, or has been done over the last couple of months. Like, whether it's a post-credit scene or it's an additional reshoot, I have a feeling the narrative of that story will be a main MCU. I think it's mostly going to be the, you know, we're going to get the first 30 minutes are going to be kind of the explanation of why they didn't interfere with the Battle of New York or Thanos invading, and why that happened and why that was allowed. We've discussed that on a bunch of other Rogue Theories and Big Questions, but I honestly, Eternals is one of those movies that I have no idea. I mean, I really, anything could happen in that movie, and I would be like, okay, that's fine. There's so much, they've invested so much in the cast of that movie. There's so much star power in that movie that it's like, I feel like it's got to be setting up for more. You know, like, they have to be, some of those characters have to be going into other movies, you know, are being set up to appear in other things, I think.
Eternals could end where Loki begins, only because that way the Celestials are working with so much in the universe that what Kang is doing is probably so minuscule to them that they're like, yo, this guy's keeping order in the world. Why are we going to get so mad about it? And so that could be the timeline of it. I feel like they have to address it if it was before. So that's why I'm like, there has to be a reason they're not going to address it.
Yeah, maybe within the family tree of the Eternals, we meet Alar's father, Kronos, you know, and then Kronos has some kind of opinion on what Kang is doing or what the TVA is doing. There could be some kind of crossover there.
Or, like, the Eternals could, since they're long-lived, we could see Eternals in the year 3000, where, you know, Kang started. So, like, maybe we could see that.
That is true.
All right, let's move on to the one that you guys, I think everyone is most curious about, Spider-Man No Way Home, right? That's the big title. Just a trailer. Or, I mean, at this point, movie theaters are putting up fake posters, and people are tweeting me, like, is this real? It's like, no, just spend 15 seconds to fucking Google it and right. see that it's not real. But anyway.
My boy.
But this movie is going to be a very big deal, and we're all waiting to see how much of a multiverse story is going to be. Right now, based off of what we know, do you guys think this can be set main MCU, alternate timeline, or across timelines?
Across timelines, across the universe.
I think it's the main timeline, and too many things are coming into the main timeline. There's a breach in the number one timeline. So it is kind of a green. It's a cross, but I think it is just like, oh, we got to fix Earth that we're living in right now, not Spider-Man going into the other ones. But.
So you think Spider-Man from other timelines are coming in to fix the main timeline?
I think they just, I think we're honestly, which is fight me, I think we're kind of mirroring into the Spider-Verse. I think that now, I think they're like, we can do this. And I think it's like, they're all coming into this one. But instead of the Spider-Mans, I think it's more of the villains. And I think that's why we're getting the villains coming back. I think they're just disrupting the timeline. They're jumping in and they're like, we can all cause chaos at once. And I don't think we're getting like the Sinister, whatever, six, but I think we're like, we could just all mess this up. We can all just mess this up, and it's Spider-Man having to like clean it all up.
As long as we get Norman Osborn as Dark Avenger Iron Patriot to prove one of my worst rogue theories, I'll be happy. If that comes full circle and I can go back on this show and celebrate, crown myself the king of theories, then I'll be fine. Other than that, anything else can happen.
We also are forgetting this is a rogue theory, so I should be going a little more crazy. Yeah, go with rogue. My Sorry,
let's go extra
boss.
Crazy.
No, it's fine.
I think that Spider-Man No Way Home is definitely going to be an interdimensional story, but like because it's John Watts, I would love it for it to be a like an interdimensional like road trip vibe with like, you know, we're on the run. It's like me and my friends and we're going to different universes and like, you know, just to keep up with the theme of like, you know, that this 80s sort of like trilogy that we're getting with John Watts.
Can I tell you how good of an idea that is? And that is what I think. Thor Love and Thunder is going to be. But we can get into it later.
Oh my God.
But that's what I think Thor Love and Thunder is going to be.
But let's remember one thing, though. If this is a multiversal, you know, multi-timeline, I'll use the correct terminology. What is Peter Parker's first question going to be once he finds out that there are more Spider-Men? Is Tony Stark alive is his like hero, mentor, father figure? Is there versions of him alive in other timelines? And can he reach out to him? Is there a chance we get like a shocking Robert Downey Jr. cameo in this movie, like through something? I see your face, Eric. You make that face at me if you want, but I'm going rogue, baby. I'm saying Peter Parker's going to, I mean, he's going to want to know like, okay, the existence of you guys, I guess because they don't look like him, then he'd be like, well, it won't look like, I don't know. I've just talked myself out of it with that. But I'm wondering if like, once he finds out there are other Peter Parkers, is he going to seek out a way to, like, reconnect with Tony Stark? You know, because he's still a kid. That's more of a thing a kid would do, right? Like, an adult would be like, no, my Tony Stark is dead. But, like, a 19-year-old or however old he's supposed to be in the movie, 18 or 19, would maybe still try and do that impulsively. So, I don't know. I'm saying, like, that could be a way that plays in.
That would be pretty crazy. Like, I love that theory. I think that'd be really fun. Yeah. But I do think that while that may not happen, I do think that we're going to get a Robert Downey Jr. variant of some kind. And I hope that it's Norman Osborn, because that would be a mind
Norman Osborn. It would be so Iron crazy. Man. You are so like, great. It's going to be Robert Downey Jr.
I want it. I just want it to.
Yeah, okay. I think only Multiverse of Madness could have that Norman Osborn thing. I don't think any non-Sony partnered Marvel thing would be able to pull that off. Mm-hmm. But I think Multiverse of Madness is a place, or what did I say? I meant No Way Home, not Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, you said Multiverse of Madness. Sorry.
But that's why I think you guys could be onto something with Osborn showing up in No Way Home. But I'm going to skip the streaming titles for now. Let's go right to Multiverse of Madness. I obviously think it's in the title that this is going to be across different universes. Yeah. But is there anything specific that you feel like you learned from the finale of Loki that gave you ideas for Multiverse of Madness?
I mean, the new evil TVA, or Kang-controlled TVA, implies to me that the multiverse may, now that it exists, it may be more chaotic but still under evil control, you know, like maybe Kang uses the TVA not to create one circular loop, as he was saying, of one main time. Maybe now he has multiple timelines that he can oppress and get, have do his bidding. Because, you know, as the Kang that we met in Loki said, I'm by far not the worst. There are many worse versions of me. So we don't know the version running the TVA may be one of the worst versions. We have to assume probably is. So maybe there's like, maybe he's using the other timelines to his advantage. And that's Doctor Strange's job, is to kind of liberate all of the time, all of the multiverses, all of the timelines.
At the end of Loki, and he dies, Kang dies, and everything happens bad, whatever. I think he gave his power. So he made it and orchestrated a world where Wanda becomes Scarlet Witch because she needs to work with Doctor Strange in order to kill all of the other Kangs. I think Doctor Strange himself couldn't do it alone, but also would be like, I don't really see the reason of us like doing this, but he needs a Scarlet Witch. He needs more than one person that can go beyond the timelines and destroy himself. So I think he's just he's just getting the world ready for his disaster that is himself. So I think that's what we're going to get with Doctor Strange, is him and Wanda teaming up to fight all the other Kangs. Or at least they're getting prepared for that, because who's going to really win over a fight with Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch? Like, that's you would get your ass.
I like this idea a lot. I'm just not sure if they're going to already bring Jonathan Majors back for Multiverse of Madness. I think he might get referenced in the story. Mm. I just think that a Doctor Strange villain, they might just go in a different direction, whether it's, you know, just making Wanda a kind of, you know, maybe not having a big bad, and Wanda just starts as a villain, but they end up working together. Mordo is the villain, or Shuma Gorath could be the villain, or Nightmare. Like, I just feel like Sam Raimi...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Like, he'll want to play with Kang, but they're going to have to pick up a different toy from the toy chest for Doctor Strange.
I trust that. Do we trust that there's going to be more villains coming in that are going to be as tangential to the entire MCU as Kang, though? I think Kang is the villain. And I think, like, when we see Gore, it's going to be done with Love and Thunder. And when we see anyone else, it's going to be done in their movies. But do we think, like, yeah, so if, like, anyone came in Multiverse of Madness, that would be their one and done, right?
Maybe, unless it's someone like Doctor Doom, right? Like, Doom is someone who they're going to want for multiple titles. But I think Kang is going to be someone, I don't think he's going to be thwarted even in his big Kang movie. He's just going to keep coming back as long as Marvel still wants to keep playing with him.
If they brought Doctor Doom in, that'd be great. But how could they bring Doctor, I guess they could bring Doctor Doom and Kang.
Yes.
But then that's what I want, Doom to have his own intro versus like Kang being like, this is Kang's umbrella and then Doom's underneath it. It's like, no, put Doom above that.
The version of that in my head that works, Jess, would be like Multiverse of Madness ends with like an unleash, a Pandora's box opening, and in addition to Kang being amongst them, you see Doom, You see Galactus somewhere in there. You see Mephisto in there. You know.
Don't even say the name.
We're not supposed to say
don't
that.
Don't even say the damn name.
No, but like.
But I would love that with Secret Wars, like MT said. But MT goes.
But
sorry.
No, just to add on to that, you got to remember what the Ancient One said in Doctor Strange 1 with, he's like, hey, if you knew everything about the multiverse, you would run out of here in terror. So like there are bigger threats other than Kang outside of the multiverse, because again we have Dormammu, we have like Eric said, Shuma-Gorath. Like there's more multiversal entities that could play a factor in the future. So like, you know, we could get Beyonders, you know, like I don't know, like that could be we could do the Builders. I don't know, there's a lot of big bad potential there.
Energy.
Well, Jess, you had mentioned Love and Thunder. It's you know, I'm so excited for this movie. What's your theory for how Love and Thunder is going to connect all this?
Okay, so it's rogue theory, so I'm going to go a little rogue.
Do it.
So I love the idea in theory that that Thor is just coasting the galaxy with the Guardians of the Galaxy. I would love that more than anything, but I think what realistically is happening is that we're going to follow the timeline that Jane Foster does have cancer, because that's one of my favorite, well, it's in like all of the comics, but it's such a good justification, such a good everything for her holding the hammer and being able to purge her chemo or get rid of her cancer for the time being. So I think that's how she's going to get the hammer. I think she's going to be traveling the galaxy trying to defeat Gore the God Butcher. And I think we're following the Unworthy Thor comic issues, because I love the idea of coming from where we are to Thor now. Thor is definitely still not feeling himself. I still think he still has doubt in himself. So he can't hold the hammer anymore. He's just like, I can't do anything. Someone else is going to have to take the title. And that's where we get Jane. And that's how we're going to have them going through Gore the God Butcher. I just realized now out loud, I'm just saying my theory for what the movie is. Is it going to be in the Multiverse of Madness? Is it going to have the multiverse involved? I don't think so. I think this is... Well, actually, no. I would love for this timeline to be just about Jane, and this is just an alternate timeline, but I don't think we're trying to stray too far off. So I think this is going to be following Falcon and the Winter Soldier in the main MCU timeline, because it's both taken in New York.
Okay. I like that idea. Sorry, MT Tommy, I'm not going to let you weigh on this because I want to talk about Wakanda Forever. Sure. Is there a possibility that they could use the multiverse to do a bit of resetting in the MCU when it comes to losing Chadwick, right? Like, maybe, like, his absence could be justified because it's taking place in that what-if timeline where T'Challa became Star-Lord, and now this is just taking place in another timeline. Yeah. Ultimately, I hope in the future they end up using the multiverse to recast a lot of different characters, like have a new Iron Man, you know, everybody, and then among those could be a new T'Challa.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to bring a new T'Challa.
Not in this movie. I don't think they'll do it in this movie, but it'd be good, I think, in the future.
Oh, yeah. I think that a variant T'Challa is inevitable because, like, the story of Black Panther just got started in Black... Yeah. We only got Black Panther 1, and, like, they definitely want to make a Black Panther, you know, 2. I mean, obviously, Wakanda Forever is the Black Panther 2, you know, spiritual sequel, but I think they want a proper Black Panther 2. And bringing in a variant is the perfect way to do that without, you know, removing T'Challa's, Chadwick's legacy as T'Challa. You're just like, all right, it's a different variant, different guy, but same character from a different universe.
So much good T'Challa's story left to tell.
You know, there is. For sure. And so, like, you know, we could see some variants in Wakanda Forever in that sense, because, like, you know, we are kicking variants off with Loki, and Wakanda Forever is, you know, coming out, you know, somewhat soon. And so that I could see them, you know, unveiling after Wakanda Forever celebrates, you know, Chadwick's life and his contributions to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, just being like, all right, you know, this is that, but like, we got to move on because Wakanda is forever. And so T'Challa is also forever. And so here is, you know, not a replacement for Chadwick, but like, here's the continuation of T'Challa's story. So yeah, I think variants could definitely factor in Wakanda Forever.
Oh, that'd be great. They just casted Michaela Cole.
Yeah, that's exciting, right? What do we think for that, right? Storm, maybe?
We all want Storm, but we're not going to get Storm, but we all want Storm.
I honestly, I want it. I have been campaigning hardcore for a female Dr. Voodoo hardcore.
Oh.
And I think that like getting a really great African-American actress, or hopefully a Haitian actress.
So looking ahead to other titles, I think we can assume Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania and Guardians Volume 3, that these will be set either in our timeline, Quantumania in another timeline, or across timelines. But let's look ahead to like the big titles that we're working towards, the big crossover events, Fantastic Four, whatever the fifth Avengers movie, might be Secret Wars. What do you think Loki has told us about what that next huge crossover event will be?
Fantastic Four, there's definitely going to be some inter-timeline or alternate timeline stuff. Because we don't know where those motherfuckers are at. And like, they could just be living in a completely alternate timeline and just doing their own thing. Maybe that timeline has mutants, who knows? So like, you know, definitely some alternate timeline stuff, or at the very least, or maybe just interdimensional stuff, because that family gets up to a lot of stuff. But a Secret Wars scenario, I think is highly likely. I think we're highly on this path, and that would be an inter-dimensional type of story. Though it wouldn't be like traveling through timelines, it would sort of just be like all the timelines coming together into one battle world.
Just wondering, by Avengers 5, will we have mutants? You know, like that's the big question we're all kind of wondering. It's like, which one of these titles is going to finally establish the X-Men, or at least the possibility of the X-Men? Is it, you know, like, when are we getting that? Is it sooner than later? Is it going to be in the next four that come up? Is it going to be through a TV series, through a Disney Plus series? Because I could see the fifth Avengers movie being like a X-Men and Avengers, like trying to figure out how they coexist against a big bad. Like, okay, we're the super team from our world. We're the super team from our world. This is a foe that we both have as a common enemy, but first we have to figure out how to coexist. I could see that happening, but there a lot would have to happen in titles that are not called X-Men for that to be a thing. You know, we'd have to be meeting individual X-Men in each of these, you know, forthcoming series. So the Secret War seems to be like where it's converging, where like, you know, the story narratively seems to be going, but I could see them swerving and doing you know, something just completely original, or at least not original, but like MCU original, and staying away from Secret Wars.
I still think they're following WandaVision more than they're following Loki if the Fantastic Four were to come in. But I do like the idea of them coming in just in the middle of Secret Wars. Because what if they did just show up and the people are just like, who are you? And they're like, we're the superheroes. And it's like, no, we're the superheroes. But I think they need a bigger introduction. And that's why I stick with the WandaVision theory of just like, when they are talking about like people get lost in space, I want those people lost in space to be the Fantastic Four. And somehow they hit some anomaly in space that is due to Wanda. Or it could be due to Loki breaking up in all these like branches. But them coming out of a timeline, just a random timeline, I want them to have more... this is our world versus like they're coming in through a different world. I want them to like, this is their Earth.
Also, it would be a very Kevin Feige FU if he successfully made a movie called X-Men versus Avengers to shine the DC for failing at Batman versus Superman. Like if he was like, we're going to make a good movie called the X-Men versus the Avengers, even though we all know the result will be the same, that they team up in the end. That would be a very Marvel flex.
Oh no, like that's very likely though, because with Secret Wars, again, with the incursions, like the Avengers could fight the Fox X-Men, technically. Right. There's good reason for an Avengers versus X-Men scenario. But
anyway. In Secret Wars, they won't even fight the villains, they're just fighting each other.
Good. I mean, it's all good, guys.
They do at first. They do at first, and then the villains are just being stupid. Yep. but that'd be fun.
A lot of great ideas brought up in this conversation, guys. I loved hearing all these takes for the upcoming films of the MCU. The golden Rogie point's gonna go to Jess for her Thor Love and Thunder theory. That's the version of Thor Love and Thunder I'd love to see. But we have some more questions we have about Loki we're going to talk about in a bit. But first we have some people we want to shout out. This is the last week to grab yourself some of the Loki-inspired merch over at newrockstarsmerch.com. Several sizes and styles have already sold out, and more of them will be disappearing soon, like they all got sent to the void at the same time. So grab yourself a latest obsession shirt, or a Loki Gator sticker, or a Mobius on a jet ski shirt, and show your support for New Rockstars at newrockstarsmerch.com. We want to thank some people who helped us make this episode, of course, in starting with our friends at Movement. In a tiny apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules. With fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean, original designs, Movement grew into one of the fastest-growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. Now, Movement has expanded into blue light glasses that protect your eyes from screens, expanded to minimalist jewelry, more style essentials that don't break the bank, all designed out of their California headquarters. On July 20th, Movement is celebrating their 8-year anniversary by running a huge site-wide sale. Everything is 28% off. That's 28% off all their best-selling watches, glasses, jewelry, and more. I recently got the Ocean Plastic Edition watch from Movement. It looks really cool. It's super functional. In its case, strap and buckle are made entirely from reclaimed ocean plastic pollution. Movement is going all out for their 8th birthday. This is their biggest sale of the year. Take advantage of these price points before they go. Don't miss Movement's biggest sale of the year. Go to mbmt.com/rogue and enjoy your 28% off. That's 28% off site-wide at mbmt.com/rogue. Join the movement. We also want to thank Decked for sponsoring this episode. One of the joys of truck ownership, of course, is being able to haul a lot of stuff. What's not so great is keeping that stuff organized and out of the elements. You got your tools rattling around under the seat, or your full Beanie Baby collection just roasting in the sun in the truck bed. That's why you got to go to the Decked drawer system for your truck. Decked makes organizing, accessing, protecting, and securing everything you need so much easier. Each of Decked's two full bed-length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. The drawers roll out waist-high, giving you easy access to your stuff. The drawers are weatherproof, protecting your stuff from all the elements. The creative design also keeps your stuff secure. The Decked drawer system is 100% made in the USA and backed by a 3-year no-hassle warranty with a great customer service team ready to answer all your questions. Get your Decked drawer system and quit letting those Beanie Babies bake by going to Decked.com/rogue where you'll get free shipping. That's Decked.com/rogue for free shipping on your Decked drawer system. Decked.com/rogue. We also want to thank Mint for sponsoring this episode. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, well, what's the catch here? Well, the trick is that there isn't a catch. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they are the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out those retail stores, folks, Mint just passes on those sweet seat savings just directly to you. Here at New Rock Stars, Philip switched to Mint. He loves it. He saves a bunch of money, and he got to keep his phone and his contacts. So for people looking for some extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and to get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/rogue theory. That's mintmobile.com/rogue theory. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/rogue theory. All right, guys, what the fuck is Miss Minutes?
Ooh.
We still don't have an answer.
MT's wife?
Oh, yes, MT's that's mistress? The main answer. That's
I didn't ask who, I said what.
Eric, it's mine and your personal friend, Tara Strong, that we interviewed on Rick's Plane.
Right.
But also, I think Miss Minutes is Kang. I think it's just essence of Kang. It's like he peeled a little bit off of himself, and it's just a proxy. Everything she sees and says is him, is his mind, is he sees. It's not like she relays things to him. He like omnisciently sees through her eyes, communicates through her. I think she's just Kang. I think she's just
so he's using some kind of conjuring magic to make her appear.
Yeah, she's like a proxy to him, but is him. She's Kang. She's just, he just thinks like that version of Kang seems a little more whimsical, seems very whimsical. And I think like he seems like kind of a theatrical goofball. I think that's just, he's like, this is cute. Time. This is a face. This is a clock face. This is Miss Minutes.
Okay. So he needed a cuter proxy than just an employee of the TVA. Something to balance out the timekeepers.
Yeah, something to not scare the variants when they're being educated on what the TVA is right before they get pruned.
Like, interesting,
you know,
theory.
Like your killers come with smiles. You know, that old theory.
Jess, what are you thinking?
Carnage does. I think that it's a variant of Renslayer. Oh. I think it'd be so fun to be from a different timeline of Renslayer, because we all know that, like, in the comics that they had a relationship. So it's like, what if this is a Renslayer that loves him and is always going to be there for him and always takes up for him? Because she didn't even lie to, like, or she did lie kind of to the other Renslayer, and she's just like, I only work for He Who Remains. That's my man. So I was like, what if this is a variant of a Renslayer that is, because we already saw that there's a variant freaking Alligator Loki. Why can't there be a variant time digital clock woman that is Renslayer? Sure. So I think it's, and they're loyal. They're a confidant, just like the Renslayer that we saw as the principal and as just the Renslayer in the show.
I like that idea a lot.
I think Tom is on the money there with Miss Minutes being, you know, an extension of Kang. But I think that, you know, remember Kang's little wrist thingy that he used, like his little temp pad? It was a circle. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that just like Miss Minutes. It's a circle like Miss Minutes. So maybe like whenever like he's talking through, you know, Miss Minutes, it's just like, all right, here's my will, or like here's me speaking through Miss Minutes. And because it's a circle, it's like, all right, this is the circle version of me. And like in as we've learned,
the circle version of me.
As we've learned, Jonathan Majors provided the voices for all of the timekeepers in episode 4, I believe, of Loki. And so, like, I'm not saying that Jonathan Majors has a really good Tara Strong Miss Minutes impression, because that would be insane if he could summon that.
But, that would be amazing.
Hey, y'all!
But, but maybe He Who Remains does. Maybe He Who Remains has a killer freaking Miss Minutes impression, and he's doing the voices. Yes. Like, that'd be hilarious.
So he's going around, I'm biting he's that. Miss Doubtfiring all of these characters. He just takes a yellow pie and goes, hello! Yo,
like, straight up Norbit, like, straight up freaking Nutty Professor. Like,
what if the two theories that we have are actually the correct answer at the intersection? What if Miss Minutes is a Kang variant? But, like, what? She's, like, the most docile, like, pleasant, like, you know, nice Southern Belle Kang variant, and he just, that's why he's allowed her to live, because she's not a threat to him, but instead
she's the most submissive Kang Dom.
But she has the power to, you know, be anywhere, go anywhere, communicate, and so what if she's just a weakened Kang variant?
I like the idea that, you know, Kang is, or He Remains, is alone in that Citadel castle. That, you know, maybe it used to be a much brighter place, and then this old woman showed up at the door during a rainstorm, and he cursed the old woman and turned the old woman away. And she warned him not to be deceived by appearances, for beauty is found from within. Oh.
This sounds like Beauty and the Beast.
This sounds like a whole original story.
And one of his clocks came to life. And she's like, howdy, y'all.
Yes, it can be.
And he's got a rose.
And he
up
dances
in the
alone in the light.
Even friends, then somebody bends. On extra temporally.
Beautiful.
Well, I give myself all the rogues.
He gave himself the points.
Jess, you get the point, because I think your Renslayer variant theory is actually really great.
Amazing.
I think that's a really cool idea. I hope that's the case.
You deserve that.
So our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive a prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And if you hate swallowing pills, good news, Blue Chew is chewable, just like it says in the name. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast episode. All right, we have time for one rogue question, guys. Right. HBO's upcoming TV adaptation of the popular video game series The Last of Us could be one of the most expensive shows in history, with individual episodes reportedly crossing the eight-figure mark. What video game would you like to see adapted for television for even more money?
Hubert! Yes. Hubert! Just kidding, no, not Hubert.
Hubert? That's his vote, and it's a horrible vote. I'll tell you that
much. This is simple. From the company that brought you the dragons in Game of Thrones comes Yoshi's Island. a cinematic masterpiece at coming in at a whopping $20 million per episode. You have blue Yoshi, red Yoshi, yellow Yoshi, green Yoshi, all coming together to eat eggs and apples. Solve puzzle.
No, I think the movie that I would choose, honestly, and it's a tie between these two franchises, but either Pajama Sam or Backyard Baseball.
Ooh.
I think
would make Backyard Baseball
phenomenal. Like all of Humongous Entertainment.
Yeah.
Like all of their library.
Oh my God.
Any of those would make phenomenal TV series.
And I know damn well this has already been done, but I want to do it in the way that we did it back in the day. I want to do the Oregon Trail, but I want it to look exactly like the Oregon Trail video game. And I want them to put a lot of money into it, and I want to die of dysentery at least twice. So I want it. You know what? We're going old school. Once you said Backyard Baseball, I had a heart attack.
Well, MT, I'm going to give you the point for Backyard Baseball. Yeah, Jessica, you are reigning supreme of this episode of Rogue Theory.
Woo, woo. I got no points.
You got 0 points.
Oh, no.
I'm back to
Tommy, if you would have pulled out that blue chew, we would have given
one point at a time. That's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank our wonderful guests, Jessica Clements, Tommy Bechtold, and MT. Follow all three of them on their social media. Support their many endeavors. You can support this channel by checking out all of our merch at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow me at EA Voss. Follow New Rockstars, of course. And subscribe here on YouTube. We'll see you next week, kiddos.